Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, hour number two. Expanded edition here. Damon and Ratto, John Dickinson, and Larry Kruger in for the guys here on a Tuesday. Let's get to our first guest on the program. It's a pleasure, as always, to be joined by Peter King of NBC Sports. Peter, we appreciate the time. Per usual, how are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, everything's great. I'm out in the Bay Area with the family, having a nice holly jolly Christmas. So life is good for me. How about you guys?
Yeah, we're doing well. Yeah, great holiday, and things keep rolling for the 49ers. Now 8 in a row, 11-4, couple of games to go. I just got to get your impressions here of the latest Brock Purdy game against probably the toughest defense that he's faced to this point. What did you think of him and the Niners in getting that 8th straight win?
You know, I sort of look at the 49ers right now as that team that, you know, obviously gets hot at the right time. And the most fortunate thing for them clearly has been the fact that Brock Purdy has stepped in, and he stepped in a way that I think not even Kyle Shanahan could have hoped for. You know, he texted me last week after the game, and just very few words, but one of them was the guy's just unbelievable. And I think what is unbelievable about it clearly is his precociousness, because nobody expected him to be this good this fast. But I also think there's one other factor involved in this. And I think I said this to Ray a couple of weeks ago, and I keep thinking about it. We all think how unlikely it is, how ridiculous it is that he would be playing this well this soon. And I think who isn't surprised at it? But I do think there's one factor that people sort of overlook. Everybody says, well, you know, last pick in the draft and all that, which obviously is true. Played 48 games in the Big 12. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you think because Trey Lance was the third pick in a draft and Brock Purdy was the 262nd, I think that's right, pick in a draft, that naturally Brock Purdy is going to be far less of an accomplished player in the NFL. And, you know, it's so early. Of course he might be. But I think we do forget that very early in a guy's career, and Brock Purdy just turned 23 this week, very early in a guy's career, that what really matters is his level of experience. And Purdy had great experience. And you know what? A lot of hard knocks experience. And I don't mean the TV show. I mean that he got beat up. Now, that wasn't always a great program, obviously, at Iowa State. So to me, I think you have to look at Brock Purdy and you have to understand that there is a bit of history to him. And look, I've talked to Brock Purdy for 10 minutes of my life, so I don't claim to know Brock Purdy, but what really impressed me in the time I talked to him, which was after the Dolphins game, is that nothing that he did that day, and I'm sure nothing he's done since then, is any kind of a surprise.
No, I mean, the guy has just been incredible. The thing that I've noticed about him is that the guy's got a crazy compete level, and it's hard. You can't measure that. There's no combine stat for compete, and this guy competes. But the thing that was at the combine, and it's one thing that I missed, every team in the league missed, including the Niners, otherwise he wouldn't have gone last, is his 10-yard split was 1.55. I was talking to Dre Greenlaw about this in the locker room the other day. And when he heard that, he said 1.55? And he was floored by that. That's 95th percentile of a 10-yard split. He's got that ability to get away, kind of like Mahomes. I hate to say it, kind of like Joe, if you want to go old school Niners. That doesn't necessarily show up in the 40 time, Peter.
Yeah, and look, I think if you ask anybody who plays pro football, the reason that that's going to be impressive is that very seldom do you run a 40 in pro football. It's much more often that a 10-yard split, even though nobody really pays any attention to that, it's more often that a 10-yard split matters. It certainly matters in offensive linemen, and it'll matter for a quarterback, because what does a quarterback need to do? He needs to get out of the way. I think even though I was watching Zach Wilson last week or the week, whatever, last Thursday night, and a couple of times, and I know that Zach Wilson seems like such a lost cause right now, but one of the things that people saw in Zach Wilson is his incredible speed when he gets out of the pocket. People are not catching him. And again, look, if Zach Wilson had some of the other traits of Brock Purdy, he'd be taking the league by storm right now because his athleticism is so great. But that is the core piece of athleticism for a quarterback that I think is the most important.
Peter King joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Peter, that being said, and this is something we're going to get into on the show today, Kyle Shanahan was asked yesterday about the quarterback situation for next season. Of course, he's going to dodge it, says he's not even thinking about that. There's bigger things to come. We all know. But if you had to look ahead and look at the layout of the 49ers QB room, I mean, how much can it change based on how things end between now and whenever the season ends for the 49ers? And how would you sort of slot things for next year? And where does that leave Trey Lance potentially?
Well, I think it's easy to sit here and say right now that Kyle Shanahan doesn't have to make a decision. He is going to allow Brock Purdy and Trey Lance to go into training camp next year, and may the best man win. And that's a pretty good luxury to have, the third pick in the draft and a guy who just took the league by storm, depending on what happens down the stretch. But that could all change. How could it change? Look, there's two games left in the regular season. There are as many as four games left after that. Brock Purdy could, let's underline could, take the field six more times before the offseason comes. Now, if he takes the field six more times, he's going to win the job, and it's going to be his job, in my opinion anyway, in 2023. You're not going to take the guy out of the game and put him behind Trey Lance on the depth chart after he did what he has done. Whether he wins the Super Bowl or not, his sixth game from right now would be the Super Bowl if the 49ers make it. Now, there's one comp in history that sort of reminds me of this, but isn't exactly this. and that is that, you know, when Tom Brady first became a player in 2001, he got in there because Drew Bledsoe got hurt. But he had almost all of the regular season and then the postseason to prove himself. And if you guys remember, Drew Bledsoe was healthy for the Super Bowl that year and, in fact, had come in to relieve Brady in the AFC Championship game when the Patriots beat the Steelers. And Bill Belichick had a decision to make coming into Super Bowl week because Brady was banged up. But Belichick knew all along if Brady's healthy, he's getting the job back. And Bledsoe was unhappy because he came in and he sort of Mariano Rivera'd the AFC Championship game. But anyway, Purdy is not going to have the length of time to prove himself that Brady did 21 years ago. The difference now is that it isn't like he's going up against a proven quarterback, because Trey Lance is not a proven quarterback. He hasn't proved anything yet. So I think Kyle Shanahan, I mean, everybody said, oh boy, that'll be a tough decision. I don't think it will be. He's just going to let the play determine it. If the 49ers go down in flames in the wild card game or maybe even in the divisional round, he's probably going to have a decision to make. But I think if he gets much farther than that with Brock Purdy, I don't know. I haven't asked him. And I don't know that Kyle Shanahan will even entertain the thought of it right now because he doesn't have to. Sometimes in football, people want you to make decisions you don't have to make yet. And I don't blame anybody for asking him the question. But if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm not answering that question right now, in part because I really don't know, and in part because I don't have to say anything right now.
We're talking to Peter King, and, I think John Lynch deserves the Executive of the Year award. I mean, not just the way that Purdy has played as Mr. Irrelevant, but he's got like 14 or 15 rookies between the practice squad and the active roster. Drake Jackson's played well. Womack's played well. Yeah. Burford is starting. And then I thought the timing of that McCaffrey trade really kind of, I mean, the season was dangling by a thread there. If he goes to the Rams, they maybe lose that game to the Rams and drop to 3-6 and the whole thing tumbles out of control. I know Howie Roseman's awesome, but and the Eagles are stacked. He had a great offseason, but I'm giving it to Lynch. How do you break down that award?
Well, it's kind of interesting. I've always thought that Executive of the Year, that you can pick it in certain ways. Okay, so I think John Lynch deserves a tremendous amount of credit for the roster that he's built, he and Adam Peters, and obviously Kyle Shanahan, because he does have the final say. Now, I do think that Shanahan, Peters, Parag Marate, and Lynch, and Jed York, certainly, at least from what I know, and look, it's been 5 years I sat in the draft room in their first draft, but their teamwork then, and from what I hear about it now, is very, very good. Now, the Howie Roseman thing is interesting because, a lot of people might say, well, Executive of the Year means Executive of 2022, so it's hard to count things like, you know, reaching for Jalen Hurts in the second round. And some of the decisions that he made before this year that are really paying off this year. So, you know, I think some people judge it only on the decisions you make this year. If you judge it only on the decisions you make this year, I think Lynch has a very compelling case for it. I'd probably vote for Roseman right now, along with, I mean, look, I thought John Schneider would have been in it until the Seahawks kind of plunged starting about a month ago. But the one thing about John Lynch's case that no one can argue is that everybody can say, well, geez, you know, Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft, so the 49ers missed on him six times. But I think the thing I would say about that is, well, you know, the 31 other teams didn't pick him at all. So it's almost like when Brady went 199th and everybody said, well, if the Patriots were that smart, they would have taken him earlier than 199th. It doesn't matter. they picked him, and they get the credit for it. And I think Lynch should get the credit here. I do not begrudge him an executive of the year vote for that and for other reasons.
Peter, I want to ask you about the landscape of the bottom half, let's say, of the NFC playoff picture right now. And I guess I'll ask it in this way. Between the Giants and the Commanders and, let's say, Detroit and Green Bay, who suddenly is very much in this mix, among that group, I mean, what team you think is the biggest threat to do something if they get in? And maybe from the 49ers' point of view, which team do you think they wouldn't want to see out of that group?
That's a really, really good question. If I were the 49ers, the team I probably wouldn't want to see, as crazy as it sounds, I don't think I'd want to see the Giants. Just because the Giants have the kind of defense that has frustrated some very good offenses this year. Look, the Lions, I would have said the Lions 5 days ago, or 3 days ago, whatever. But the Lions now really got exposed, especially on the ground. And so I guess I look at the Lions right now, and I have some immense skepticism. And you get over 300 yards run against you when you know time and again the run is coming. That's a damning statistic. And so I think of all those guys you mentioned, I'd say the Giants because of their defense. But I think the Giants are so toothless on offense that you wouldn't have to have a great day on offense. You just have to have a kind of middle of the road day. The only way the Giants are going to hurt you on offense is if Saquon Barkley owns the game. And I just don't think any offensive weapon right now is going to own the game against the Niners.
Peter, the Broncos got crushed on Christmas, and then Nathaniel Hackett took the brunt of it, and he's gone after 15 games. The interesting thing to me, though, is that and George Payton, I thought, had an interesting offseason, even though a lot of people will be critical of him on the Russell Wilson trade. But according to what I read, whoever they hire as the new coach is not going to report to George Payton, that they're going to report directly to the owner. And I just think that this is a problem the 49ers have had in the past, and I just think this is a problem that you see around the league when you have, the front office and the head coach on different timelines, different motivations. They're not aligned. When they're not locked together, I just think that's problematic. Is Denver making a mistake with their structure?
I don't know. I don't know a team right now where the coach bypasses the general manager to report to the owner. And again, Jed York would have every right in the world to say to Kyle Shanahan, I hired you, I'm my boss, I want to see you every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have a two-hour conversation. Okay? And he's within his right to do that. And some teams have had success and done that. The Buffalo Bills did it. Ralph Wilson used to have command performances with his head coaches, and heck, they went to four straight Super Bowls. So I'm not saying it is unworkable. I'm saying that to me, the only way that a football organization can work, in my opinion, is to have the general manager and the coach. The only way it can work for any length of time is to have the general manager and the coach aligned, and to have the owner or the owner's representative, as is Rob Penner's job with the Broncos. He's part of the ownership group. He's not the owner. The only way it can work is to have those the general manager and coach aligned at the hip, and those guys reporting to the owner. I don't understand an owner who wants to have people report to him, because to me, who wants to have his coach report to him? Because to me, what that does, it means that the coach and the owner then can be a cabal Okay, and the general manager then can sit with the owner on Sunday, and it's just, I just don't think it's a healthy way traditionally to run the team. It's not to say it can't work. And look, here's the bottom line in the Denver Broncos. If Russell Wilson plays next year the way he played this year, I don't care if the reincarnation of Vince Lombardi is the coach and Bill Walsh is the offensive coordinator. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If Russell Wilson stinks, they're going to stink. And so anybody can report to anybody, but if they don't solve Russell Wilson, and by the way, I keep hearing people say, well, geez, now you can't touch Russell Wilson. You can't cut him until 2026. That's a bunch of nonsense. They can, I mean, look, it's going to be very hard to cut him now with $110 million of dead cap space next year that would mean. It'd be very hard to cut him at the end of next year if he was awful again, because that's $85 million of dead cap space. That would really bother me. But you know what would bother me more? Entering 2025 with a horrible quarterback as the anvil on my roster. So I would rather pay Russell Wilson off and get him out of there at the end of next year if he does have an instant replay of this year.
Peter, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, hey, thanks a lot, guys. Take care.
Thanks,
all right,
Peter.
All right, the great Peter King joining us here on 95.7 The Game. So, yeah, Peter, initially interesting on the conversation we're going to get into here coming back, but he says competition between Purdy and Trey Lance, unless the Niners get to an NFC Championship game or a Super Bowl.
Then he says you're rolling with Purdy. We didn't follow up with then what happens to Trey, but we can talk about that.
Yeah, no doubt, because it is going to be fascinating. And 888-957-9570, that is the phone number. We'll open up the phone lines. The Xfinity mobile text line is open as well. A lot to chew on. We can also get into some of the potential first-round opponents for the 49ers. Who's got action among those? I guess it's really five teams. I left Seattle out, Larry, because they've been leaking oil for about 6 weeks. I threw the Giants, Commanders, Detroit, Green Bay, and I left Seattle out, although technically I guess Seattle's still in that mix.
No, technically, but they're in a free fall, and Geno's starting to struggle. It's like, the clock struck midnight, and Geno has reverted back to his previous career standard.
Yeah, so Kyle Shanahan was asked about the quarterback situation for next season yesterday during his weekly Monday conference call that comes after the game. He dodged it. We'll play the cut for you coming up here. Also, the conversation of, have we seen enough? Have we seen enough right now to, I wouldn't say pencil in Brock Purdy as the quarterback, but write it, maybe grab the old Sharpie, the old autographed Sharpie on the piece of paper on the index card and write.
That's permanent ink.
Right. That's permanent ink. The permanent, the Sharpie that, make sure when you want to get an autograph, you're going Sharpie because you can write on anything with it and it's going to stick there, hopefully for, till the end of time, for at least 2023. And then, what happens in, the playoffs if Jimmy G's healthy? I think we know the answer to that one. So we can get into all of that coming back here. It's John Dickinson and Larry Krueger in for Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you, so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you, and everyone on your list, at prices that get your budget. at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
On every gallon of gas, use promo code GOLF for an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up. That's code G-O-L-F. Use code GOLF for an extra 25 cents per gallon back in your first fill-up. Cashback's not available in gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Help Ukrainian children. Shazam this song. Shazam, open on YouTube, follow the link and donate.
Now back to Damon and Ratto on 95.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. John Dickinson and Larry Krueger. 888-957-9570. Hey, tune into Warriors Live on 95.7 The Game, presented by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet only from Xfinity. And Warriors Live coming up tonight at 6 o'clock with yours truly here on 95.7 The Game as the Warriors take on the Charlotte Hornets. Anthony Slater's going to join us at 4 as we'll talk some dubs with Slater then. But let's get into the 49ers conversation. I think good conversation started with Peter King of NBC Sports just about the quarterback situation. And Cam, let me know if you've got that cut ready to roll from Kyle Shanahan from yesterday in the conference call so we can hear his answer when he was asked very last question of the conference call about next season. So let's go ahead and roll that. Oh, we don't have it yet. Okay, my bad on that. So we'll hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say.
He dodged.
But he dodged. We know he dodged. And
I can't think about that far in advance. We may not even be alive.
Right. It was very much like that.
Right.
Yeah, no, there's no question about it. And so it just leads down the path. And I talked about it a little bit yesterday. I mean, at this point, how could it not be Brock Purdy? It's Brock Purdy until further notice, based on the way that he's played to this point. And then, you know, we'll have to see how it ends, of course. But, I mean, you kind of feel like he isn't going to have that blow-up game that because of what we've been able to see and the evidence of what we've seen to this point when he's played the last few weeks.
You know, I mean, I'm all in on Brock Purdy and have been for a long time. But this idea that he's going to suddenly fall on his face, okay, I'm not sure where that comes from. He has faced Tampa Bay's defense. They're 7th rated in scoring. He faced Washington's defense. They were 12th. He faced Miami's defense. They're 14th. And then he faced Seattle's defense. They're 28th. So he's faced some decent defenses. You say, oh, yeah, but that's nothing compared to what? Compared to what? Philly is 15th defense in scoring. Dallas is 13th. Minnesota's dead last. They're 32nd. Those are the teams on paper that you would think would stand between the Niners and going to the Super Bowl, right? So I don't know that I don't think he's got to face any tougher defenses in the playoffs than the defenses he's already faced. The other side of it would be people have already said to me, well, dude, I mean, how could you possibly be all in on Brock Purdy? We haven't, you know, Jimmy was 5-0. I mean, my kid was like, yeah, you know, Jimmy dad was 5-0. I'm like, well, okay, but that Jimmy played, you know, 500 ball in his college career at the FCS level. And if you're a future NFL quarterback and you're not winning the vast majority of your games in the FCS level, I think you got to wonder about that. Brock Purdy was a 4-year starter and led Iowa State, hardly a monster in the Big 12, to 4 straight bowl games and won 65% of his starts in college. So he's not Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy was a 500 quarterback in college. Brock Purdy was 30-17 in 47 collegiate starts. I just think he's ideally fitted. He's ideally fit to quarterback a run-oriented offense that requires the quarterback to make, you know, specific, efficient throws. And I just think when you look at him, JD, he's accurate. He's got an excellent touch. He's got incredible timing. He's a real distributor of the football. He's got a good enough arm. He's got quick feet. You know, off the play action, he plays with this great rhythm and quiet feet. You don't see, he's not nervous pitter-patter like Garoppolo is. He's set. He's got a solid base. He has one of the best, you know, 10-yard splits of anybody.
Sure.
So he can escape. But then you look at him and you're like, this guy's a chain mover. He makes those short and intermediate throws that Trey Lance like struggled with, just the basic throws. Brock doesn't just make those throws. He makes them with total ease. Like he could do it 100 times in the dark. So he has improv skills. He throws well on the move, especially to his right. And he's clutch. I mean, this guy's got a compete gene that is off the charts, and he just keeps plays alive. And the one thing that he really does, he has an ability to keep plays alive, a sidestep defensive lineman, and still, when he turns back around, he absolutely knows exactly where his receivers are in the route. So sure. That's a skill. And I just think that when you really look at him, you know, this guy did it in college. And, you know, if you follow me on Twitter at Sports Larry K, I tweeted out a whole like 12-minute breakdown of this guy's college film. And if you watch it, it's identical, literally identical to what you're seeing right now. So this is who this guy's always been. We just need to finally admit that we all missed. We all missed. I sat there and swore. When they drafted him on draft day, I was like, you know, because to me, he's just a smallish Big 12, unimpressive. You know, I just didn't think, I just thought, this isn't the guy.
I mean, I'll give you my comp. I mean, we sat out at practice and I say, hey, reminds me a little bit of Matt McGloin.
Yeah. Right. A lot of people said Nick Mullins. Yeah. How many people said Nick Mullins?
A lot of people did.
And it's just, it's like we sit there and we tell each other, don't judge a book by the cover. And then what do?
We do, yeah.
We judge the book by the cover. And looks like Mullins. He must be Mullins. Yeah. He's not Mullins.
Yeah, he's got the moxie of McGloin. Like, I think he does have a little something to him where he thinks he's pretty good, but obviously he's a lot better than that.
This guy is taking the reins of this job, and he ain't giving it back. He's not. He's the leader in the room. I mean, the 49ers, I'm down there every Wednesday, Thursday, Friday doing interviews with these guys. You get a sense of the room and the mood in the room. After the Miami game, the 49ers were going the rest of the way with their third-string quarterback, and there wasn't any, like, guys speaking like, oh, man, the season just got away from us.
Right.
The
injuries. Like it was over. Yeah. Nobody was, there wasn't, and that was even palpable
none
in
of that.
Post-game in Miami after in the locker room. It was, there. You thought there would be a sense of, we're screwed, it's over, this is another wasted year, damn it, and it was not. It was a weird calm, like it was eerily similar to when Trey got hurt and Garoppolo was taken over. Like, hey, all is not lost.
Yeah, and then when you look closely to who is the 49ers' main weapon, it's George Kittle. And George Kittle under Brock Purdy has been spectacular. I think if there's one thing that is noticeable, what's like the biggest noticeable difference between Brock and the other quarterbacks? It's the production of George Kittle. George Kittle in Purdy's 3 starts has 14 catches on 16 targets for 241 yards and 4 touchdowns. And Brock on his throws to Kittle has a perfect 158.3 quarterback rating when he targets Kittle. I mean, I don't know, but to me, I think I would like my quarterback to have, good rapport with my number one weapon. And how can you have a better rapport than a perfect QB rating? So I don't think what we're seeing is accidental. I don't think the defenses coming up are going to be like, oh, he's done it to this point. But boy, you know, the big, bad, whatever team is looming. I don't see that big, bad, whatever team. I really don't.
Well, the thing for me is, and we can have a conversation about, you know, if as you look to next year, whether, all right, is it Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy? Like, at that point, I feel like we could at least have a conversation, because Jimmy has been able to win and play at a certain level. And look, Purdy to this point in the small sample size has been better. There's no denying that. When you just look at the way that he's played and the way it's fit into the offense and things have been unlocked. And I'm with you. The big two things that stand out to me about Purdy is just, it's the fact that the plays that Kyle Shanahan dial up to be explosives or to be touchdowns have been touchdowns. And I think a lot of those have been to Kittle to this point, to echo kind of what you're saying. But there aren't, you know, how many times would we come in on a Monday and talk about the throws that Garoppolo missed that would have been a touchdown? Oh, man, you hit this, it goes for a touchdown. You hit this, it's a big gain, and it's points on the board. The red zone issues, they pop back up a little bit at the end of the Washington game, but for the most part, the Niners have been punching it in when they get in the red zone, or even hell, before they get into the red zone. You know, you don't need to be great in the red zone if you're scoring from the 40 or if you're scoring from the opposite 25, like they've been able to do here of late as well. And so to me, it's those plays that Kyle schemes up, and I think there's, you know, four or five of them a game that are meant to be explosive. Hey, this is going to hit. The defense is going to do this. It's going to be open. Those plays are being made at a much higher level, which I think is a distinction from the Garoppolo era. And then you also look at just the off schedule, the ability to move. I mean, you laid it out beautifully, just his ability to escape, to know where he is, to know where the receivers are, to make those plays, to stick those throws off schedule. That's the most surprising part of all of it for me, is the mobility and ability to make plays on the move.
Extend plays, yeah. Be a late in the down throw.
Right, absolutely. And oh, there's a guy. Oh, boom, hit him. First down, move the sticks. Like, that's all been impressive. All of that being said, if we were going to have a conversation about Purdy v. Jimmy Garoppolo in 2023, I'd be here to at least have a conversation and say, over the long haul, we probably haven't seen enough of Brock Purdy yet. Now, maybe if he goes on and leads him to the Super Bowl and or they win it, then that's checkmate in favor of Brock Purdy. But if we're talking about Brock Purdy, and I think we can safely throw Jimmy out at this point, as he's not going to be coming back. I know we did it last year, different circumstances. So I'm almost removing Garoppolo from that conversation. If it becomes a simple conversation about Brock Purdy versus Trey Lance for 2023, I'm sorry. I've already seen enough. Like, that, like, to me, it's Brock Purdy. Like, Brock Purdy's had, what, the same amount of starts at this point, or the same amount of, he had a very short stint in that fourth start, I guess. I don't want to count the Seattle game, but it's Purdy's played more essentially as a starter in the NFL than
I give Miami to Purdy as well, as, because they were behind. It was first quarter.
Exactly.
He won that game.
It looked like
it was Jimmy started.
Exactly.
But technically, Purdy should be 4-0 in his starts.
And it looked like Trey was going to have a good game against Seattle. It did early when he got hurt. But what I'm saying is, I've seen more from Brock Purdy in his career where he's playing the quarterback position at a high level, the way you want it to be played, than we've seen at Trey Lance and his limited opportunities. There are explainable reasons for that. But again, the overarching point for me, Larry, is if we're saying Brock versus Trey, there's no need to necessarily have a competition at all at this point for me. It's Brock Purdy's team.
I agree. I think they drafted Trey on traits, and they still are in love with those traits. So they still really have a lot of hope for Trey's future, as do I.
He could be a package guy next year.
But traits still demand coaching and refining. And I don't know that Kyle Shanahan is an elite quarterback coach. I think Kyle Shanahan's an elite quarterback, or elite play caller, play designer, play sequencer, play schemer.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't think that his greatness is that he can take any raw piece of clay and make them a great quarterback. I don't think he's ever done it before.
No, but Purdy fits
Purdy's
and
ready
does
to roll.
The things
Purdy, in a lot of ways, is ideally suited for an offense that has all these run after the catch monsters, mm-hmm. because it's just about, does the ball come out on time? Does it come out accurately? Does he know what he's seeing? Does he process pre-snap what he's seeing? Does he know where to go with the ball? To me, what's really the most impressive part about Brock Purdy is the footwork in the short game, because your footwork has to be on point in the short game to have the ball come out on time and with accuracy, and it is. So the guy's played a lot of football, and if you go watch his college film, you're going to see the exact thing that he did at Iowa State is exactly what he's doing now. He extends plays. You know, I've asked Greg Cosell about Trey Lance about 40 times and about Jimmy Garoppolo about the same number of times, and he'll always say about Jimmy, he's like, you know, he's not a late in the down thrower. In other words, if the first read isn't there, it tends to go downhill from there as he starts to survey the field. Brock is a good late in the down thrower. He can process what he sees, but he can go through the progressions, and then he can move his feet, get out, buy himself some extra time, get a new angle, and then find his receivers and hit them in stride. And the other thing is, when you have run after the catch receivers like the Niners do, and they may have the best ever. I mean, you got Debo, Kittle, Ayuk, McCaffrey. I mean, you got some of the great run after the catch weapons in the entire sport. This guy has the ability to hit these guys in stride.
Yeah.
And if you can hit a guy in stride who's already has run after the catch ability, you're talking about big chunk yardage plays. And that's exactly what we're seeing.
That's why those plays have gone for explosives and gone for touchdowns in a way that they hadn't in the past. So 888-957-9570 if you want to join the conversation. Xfinity Mobile text line as well, 888-957-9570. Is this Brock Purdy's show? I mean, there's almost nothing in my mind that Purdy could do between now and the end of the season to where you're saying, like, the worst case scenario, I kind of go back to Peter King. And the worst case scenario would be a competition at this point for Brock Purdy. Like, that's Purdy, let's say, has a horrible game at the Raiders on Sunday, and then you go into the playoffs and he's just kind of solid, average, whatever. Maybe the Niners win a game, they lose a game, something like that, to where you're still a little unsure, but you've seen, let's say, a decline in production over the course of these next few games, and you don't go to a Super Bowl or win a Super Bowl. At that point, I mean, maybe there's an open competition between the two. I'd favor Brock Purdy in that kind of competition, but I feel like that's almost the worst low end as far as this thing goes in him next year. If he continues to play as steadily as he has, I mean, the Niners have a great shot to win the Super Bowl one, and then it's game over at that point. But I said this a lot during training camp about Trey Lance, and there was some pushback, and I think we talked about it a little bit, but my assessment of Trey from watching camp was, and I couldn't quite put my finger on it, but it just, the way I put it was, he's just not as far along as I would think he should be in the passing game. Whether it's the mechanics, there's just plays that were there to be made, even against the top defense, that he didn't make. It's just some missed throws, mechanics are a little bit off, whatever it is. I thought for a guy that the 49ers had handed the keys to really February 1st, a couple days after the NFC Championship game, I thought he would look a lot more competent than he did. I know he's young. I know he didn't play a lot. I know there was going to be a lot of net need for development, all of that. But watching training camp, I was worried. I was concerned that there had the potential to, it was not going to go well for Trey Lance. We've seen Brock Purdy step in and play immediately and make it look not like how an offense should look, even better than what we saw from Garoppolo in his time here so far. So to me, it's not even a discussion in a way right now.
Well, I mean, Trey has high end ability. There's no question. I think he's got
talented kid for sure.
I think he's got the physical ability. I think he's got the mental ability. And I know football's important to Trey. So I think it's going to be a matter of time. The question is, do any of us, Kyle Shanahan, the players, the Niner front office, the fans, the media, does anybody have the patience to go through the growing pains? I mean, when I said that
not with this team,
Purdy throws the short and intermediate pass and he throws it with ease. Trey Lance doesn't throw any pass with ease. There's nothing that he does just where he can do it repeatedly all day, every day. No, He doesn't have that kind of refinement. So he has a very strong body. He's got a very strong arm. He's got a great attitude. And I think he's a really valuable quarterback prospect. And I think, in my opinion, he's going to get there. But sure, it may take 3 years. And I don't think they're going to give him those 3 years. So then the question is, what do you do with Trey?
Yeah.
And it's like, I think, you know, right now people are like, well, you bring him back and you go with Purdy and you just sit Trey behind Purdy. Okay.
That's probably what I would do.
That's probably what a lot of people would do. But, you know, that assumes that Trey doesn't have an agent or his own desires to play. I mean, he didn't play a lot in college. He hasn't played a lot so far. He knows he has to play to get better. Why is he going to sit willingly behind Brock Purdy for the next 2 or 3 years? It doesn't make sense. He would almost be ruining his career if he stayed here, despite the fact that this is a great spot and this is a great organization. They got weapons and they support their players. I think Trey Lance needs to play right now, but I don't think he's going to play here. So the question is, what's he worth? Would they consider moving him? What do you need to see before you'd be open to that? Some people have already seen enough. Some people need to see a playoff run. Some people won't be there until Brock is standing there in Arizona holding sure. the Lombardi trophy and saying, I'm a champion. There are people that aren't. That's not going to be enough. But the thing about it is, when you look at the quarterbacks in this draft, Will Levis from Kentucky, Alabama's quarterback, Bryce Young, is that his name?
Yeah.
Bryce Young. It's Trey Lance, I still think, has a lot of value. And even as is, I think they could move him this offseason and get something of significance. People say, oh, they're not going to get anything but a third or fourth round pick. No, they're going to get way more than a third or fourth round pick because it's supply and demand. And he's still a young, healthy, good quarterback prospect with a great attitude. So, I think the Jets will come knocking. I think the Colts will come knocking. I think the Raiders will come knocking. I think there's a bunch of teams out there that are going to need a quarterback. And from what I've seen, all the mock drafts, JD, the top three or four guys are all projected to go in like the top 10 of the NFL draft. That means there's going to be five or six teams probably looking for quarterbacks that there won't be any quarterbacks on the market. And Jimmy can go one place that takes one of the jobs, but there's still going to be a handful of opportunities. I think some team is going to come and offer the 49ers something significant for Trey. And then it's a matter of, do they take it? Does Trey want to move on? He may want to move on.
I'd probably wait and see. And part of that is that you're not totally sold on the fact that Trey Lance can't eventually be a good quarterback. I mean, to me, it's twofold. It's you would need to see more of Purdy, and you're hedging a little bit at that point. Even if he takes you to a Super Bowl, you would be hedging by keeping Trey Lance around and believing in that development. Now, you're right. It gets tricky if Trey says, look, I want to play. I don't want to be a backup and wait for an opportunity.
It's day one, if Trey comes in and says, you know what? I love it here. You guys are awesome. I want to be traded. The day he makes that demand, his value goes down.
No question.
So you probably want to communicate with him and
yes.
privately and say, Trey, you know, this is the situation. You know, the teams, you know, we love you. You love us. And, we want to do the best for you. What is the best for you? And then find out. And then you see what the offers are and see if you'd rather have, is he more valuable to you as a backup to Purdy or in a competition with Purdy? Or is he more valuable to you in what you can get as an asset to build up your football team going forward?
And I know Kyle Shanahan didn't want to do this going back to last year with Garoppolo as the starter. But I think at that point, I mean, you could still get Trey Lance on the field in some packages and get him some action that way as he continues to develop and
build his value
and build his value and show that he can be a running quarterback that we haven't really totally seen that yet at the NFL level with some regularity. So I think there is some value in that. And then as this year has shown, and I couldn't believe it when I was running through it again, I'm sure you've talked about this a lot, but 4 of 6 years for Kyle Shanahan where he's needed 3 quarterbacks to get through the year. So it matters, the backup. The backup matters, I think, more. And we've seen Purdy already. I mean, just two starts in, gets to a point where he's playing through something, something relatively serious here. So we got some people on the phone lines that want to talk. Let's get to it here before the top of the hour. Ryan in San Francisco on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Just making sure. Just want to say that, I do feel like this. I don't know, or you guys can correct me too. I feel like this is like the Redskins all over again, where RG3 was that big pick, and then you have Kirk Cousins all the way at the bottom. I feel like Brock Purdy was a pick from Shanahan. I think Trey Lance was a pick from upper management. But, I mean, I do love Trey Lance and I love Brock Purdy, but I just feel like we have a better chance with Brock Purdy as of right now, and we'll see what happens for next year.
Thanks for the call. There's no way that Kyle Shanahan didn't make the pick for who the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers is going to be. There's no way I'm buying that.
On all quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there may have been, and he may have liked multiple guys, and you are going to listen to your scouts. You should listen to your scouts. These guys are really, really smart. And you know, I've seen scouts bang the table for a player, and they've got great conviction. I've seen scouts not have any conviction. So it really depends on, you know, what the discussion was like. I guarantee you they did not pick Trey Lance against his wishes.
Right.
I mean,
no way.
But I'm sure he liked the traits that Brock Purdy possesses as well. I will say this: Brock Purdy is the number one passer, has the number one passer rating in the NFL since Week 13. Number one, he ranks number one in the NFL since Week 13 in passer rating. Number one in the NFL in win percentage, obviously. Number one in touchdowns per attempt. And he's throwing the ball down the field.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, JD. Purdy has a 72% completion rate and a 139 quarterback rating on throws 10 yards deep or more.
Right.
This year. So
he drives it. He does. He's better than you think. That was something I know we talked about early on. Like, Mike, you know, he's smaller. I kind of wonder about that in terms of durability. And also, you know, maybe balls getting knocked down in the pocket a little bit. Washington got him for a couple, but also just the ability to drive it, you know, as far as the arm strength goes, and the arm strength has to this point been there, no question. Let's get Gene in Oakland next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Gene, you're on with JD and Larry.
Hey, fellas. Yeah, thanks, fellas, for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I'm already sold on this kid. I think I've seen enough. I really think he is the starting quarterback for this team moving forward. He's got poise. He sees the field. He throws accurately. He's evasive. I mean, he's got all the skills that you need to succeed. I mean, and even I've heard it said that he has a weak arm. I mean, that dart he threw to Kittle on that 40-yard play, that looked like a pretty damn good throw to me. And he's supposed to be small. Well, he's 1 inch shorter than Mahomes and the same size otherwise. So I'm not even sure that's a real factor. So I like this kid. He's going to be due. He's going to have some real challenges. We expect it. Even if he has a bad game or two, hopefully before the end of the season, that's fine, you know.
Well, you're running out of time there.
You have it
totally
soon.
Confidence in him.
Thanks, Gene. You know, if you're going to see it, you want to see it the next 2 weeks.
I will say this. If, you know, just, and this is just my sense of it, so this is just clearly my opinion, but if Jimmy Garoppolo, if here we are on the 27th of December, if somehow magically Jimmy Garoppolo, Trey Lance, and Brock Purdy were all 100% healthy.
Right now.
100% healthy right now. If Shanahan went to Garoppolo or Lance, I think he'd lose the room. And he's enormously popular, Shanahan is, in the room with the players.
And so is Jimmy.
So is Trey.
Yeah.
The players love Trey. They love Jimmy. But they are the harshest critics. They know what it's supposed to look like, and they know better when they see better. And Purdy's been better than those two guys.
Absolutely. 888-957-9570. Damon and Ratto streaming live on YouTube. Head to youtube.com/957thegame to watch us live and see what's going on inside the studio. That's always fun. You can do that today as well with myself and Larry Krueger. Like and subscribe for all 95.7 The Game content on YouTube. Anthony Slater joins us next, and then we'll continue the 49ers conversation here on 95.7 The Game.
Tune in to 95.7 The Game for Warriors Live.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. you'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds, and grow your business fast.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.